Father, we give you praise. Amen. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say after me, Heavenly Father, speak to me in this service. As I hear your word, bring transformation to me. Bring change to me. Bring transformation to me. Bring change to me. I will not live here the same way I came. I am transformed by your word. I am built up by your word. I am edified by your word. In Jesus' name. Can you shout glory with a loud voice? Glory! Shout glory! Glory! You may please be seated. Believe me, we'll worship that worship till the end. Yes, sir. It's just that some of these songs, I feel like maybe I'm the only one that knows some of them. You know some of them, right? Yes. I know some of them may be new. Some of them may be strange. But let me tell you something. Part of your Christian experience is to learn new songs. Do you know that? Yes, you may not have heard that before. But part of your Christian devotion to God is to learn new songs to worship Him. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 from verse 18. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. Part of your Christian discipline is how you train yourself. Just the same way you write a love letter to a girl. Are you with me? As a believer, you should write love letters to God. You know, the Christianity of these days, I've not been a Christian for too long, but at least I got born again, generally born again, August 2005. So I've been a Christian for more than 20 years. When we got born again then, one of the things that was very strong, I remember my friends, is called a love for God. Do you understand? When you see us pray, we are not praying because we wanted to enter a new realm of power or a new dimension of favor or a new level of increase. You just love God. Are you with me? You just want to know God. You want to grow in the things of God. It is being restored back in this generation. Amen. When you hear songs that touch you about God, there are some languages I like the way they sound. The Igala language. Maybe it's because at some point I was staying in Benue State. Am I getting it well? O Jehovah, inene do no. Enedefa mojo kidabue. O Jehovah, ineneduno. O kamalea, o idangoe ocho. You're looking at me, Pastor David is speaking in tongues. Great and mighty God. Great and mighty God. Awesome is your name. Alea chaba. Okay, I'm done. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Today I have a strong word from the Lord to share with us. And I've titled it Apostolos, Sent from God. I want your glory to be louder. Glory. Lord, speak to us this morning. In the name of Jesus. Open your Bibles to John chapter 1 from verse 6 to 7. The Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Please, are you with me? You know, this teaching is very important Because it's in tandem with the prophetic word we have for this year, which has been tied to the apostolic year. Amen. And to further explain what we meant by the apostolic year, we said it is our year of fire, of order, and of destiny. And this teaching will set a lot of order in your life. Are you with me? And will set you on the course of destiny. You know, also this season, God has been training me to pretend as though I am raising people from ground up again. Are you with me? And so, this question may answer some of the very strong, this teaching will answer some of the very strong questions you've been asking. And so pay attention. Amen. So I called it sent from God. Amen. John chapter 1 from verse 6 to 7. The Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I don't know what crosses your mind when you read a verse like that. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You see, the word apostolos simply means the sent one. And while it relates more to the context of those who Jesus Christ sent to preach and bear witness of his message, it also relates to every one of us. Are you with me? In the sense that God has sent you to the earth to achieve something. Are you with me? Are you with me? God has sent every one of us to the earth to fulfill a specific assignment. Are you with me? So that means we can also say there was a man sent from God whose name was Owen. Yes, there was a woman sent from God whose name was Victoria. Glory. Are you with me? Yes, there was a woman sent from God whose name was Virtuous. Glory. Are you with me? Yes, there was a man sent from God whose name was David. Glory. There is a man sent from God whose name is Tosin. So, in as much as it relates to John, it can also be said about you that you are sent from God. I'm sent from God. Say after me, I'm sent from God. Say it again, I'm sent from God. My barrister Toby, say I'm sent from God. Shout it loud, I'm sent from God. My brother, shout it, I'm sent from God. Some of you are not shouting, I'm pointing to you, you are not shouting. Don't worry. We shout it, I'm sent from God. Amen. Amen. Say after me, I'm sent from God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Please, can you hear me? Yes, sir. Has it dawned on you that you were sent from God to the earth? Or do you think that you are just here to just roam around, try and make ends meet, just manage your life, try and manage Nigeria? Is that what you think? You know, this sermon may look very simple, but by the time I begin to break it down, you know it's much more deeper than how it sounds. Are you with me? You are here because God sent you to the earth. And the reason why God sent you to the earth was because he knew you. So like I've always been saying before, you may have been a biological accident, but you're not a divine accident. Say after me, I'm not a divine accident. I'm not a divine accident. Amen. I saw a verse of the Bible that got me thinking about these things. I saw a verse of the Bible that shocked me. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4. If you can pray in the Spirit, let us pray in the Spirit together. Zekaparashata kapalante likabaragado sheketelia rando kope seketelia shekete peleketelia rakabada de pelege sheketelia likeberendege sheketelia. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4. Rakabada da palakabada dege seketelia. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. What does he read? Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4. What does he read? Read on. Look at this. Before I formed thee in the belly of your mother's womb, I knew thee. Before you were formed in the belly of your mother's womb, I knew thee. Do you know how serious this is?
Hey.
No, read it again. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Hey, that means when you got born by your parents, you may have been a new personality to your parents, but you are not a new personality to God. God was not looking at a baby and he called his angels to say something like this. We have another baby. What are we going to do with this child? That's not what happened. Actually, according to this verse, he's saying that you were a personality that he knew. You were a person that he was interacting with. Before you entered into the womb of your mother, you were a personality that God knew. You were a person that he knew intimately and sent you. Are you with me? This is not something to take lightly. Say after me, God knows me. Say it again, God knows me. And not just that he knew you, he planned an assignment for you. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So that means God knows all the details of what your life should encapsulate. He knows everything. He has a plan for you. He has prepared for you. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, my God. If this is true, that means God is not somewhere confused about your life. He knows exactly what should be happening in your life at this moment. Sometimes I'm sent from God. You know, John Wesley said something. The great John Wesley. He said, I am a spirit sent from God and I will return back to God. I am sent from God and I will return back to God. Has it dawned on you that you were actually sent from God? You were a personality that God knew. You are not just someone roaming around. You know, as young people, at some point in your life, there is a temptation to believe that you are on your own. Have you ever heard people say things like, nobody is coming to save you? Have you heard things like that before? Say, my guy, Hozulu, nobody is coming to save you. There are other things they give me some other lines that they use. Now only you come. Now only you come. Who has said something like that before? Every man for himself. And somehow, at a certain age, when a young person encounters some of the challenges in life, when you apply for a job, you apply and apply, they tell you, we are sorry to, you know, those days, there was a time I applied for jobs so much, once I start the message or the mail with, we are sorry to, I don't continue again. I leave it. I know where you are going to. We are sorry, we cannot continue with this. I know where you are going to. Sometimes you can face so much hardship and you can get to the point where you believe that you are on your own. You believe that you are left alone, but it's not true. He said, before I formed you in the belly of your mother's womb, I knew you. There is somebody actually watching you, watching all the steps you are taking, watching all the plans you are making, watching yourself, look at yourself and say, what if my life is just useless? No, it is not useless. He has a plan for you. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
After me, God knows me. Say it again, God knows me. Say it again, God knows me. Say it again, I am sent from God. Say it again, I am sent from God. I want this thing to enter inside your spirit well. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God whose name was Emmanuel. Are you with me? So now, that you know that you are sent. Why were you sent? Why were you sent? Before I go, and I want us to do something. Let us pray. Say after me in the name of Jesus. My spirit is open. My spirit is open to understand. My spirit is open to receive. I want to go on teaching. But you see, as a pastor, as a teacher, I can know when you are getting what I'm saying. I can know when your spirit is a little bit clouded to what we are talking about. So we're going to do something. We're going to pray. Let me see how much time I have. We're going to pray. And if possible, we even worship for 5-10 minutes. Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
Close your eyes. Pray in the spirit. Ratakapalaka sheketelia. Surekepelete keshiketelia. Rakapataka suketetelia. Sheketepeleketelia. Sabarata kapalaka badade. Shegedebeleketelia. Rando suteketetelia. Rakabada de peleke sheketelia. Rata kapalata ka sheketelia. Rata kapala katelia. Rata kapalada shekete. Zepele teketetelia.
Of our King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light when darkness tries to hide, trembles at his force. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, see how great. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, sing. How great is our God. Hey, you're the name.
Ragabala Kapalantilia Tapali. You're the name. You're the name above all names. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of my praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Everybody sing, great is your name. Passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be.
Thank you, Lord. Exalt him right now. Exalt him right now.
I've come in the volume of the book. It was written about me to do your will, oh God. I've come in the volume of the books. It was written about me to do your will, oh God. I will do your will. Do your will. Do your will, oh God.
Sing with me.
I will do your will. Do your will. I'll do your will, oh God.
Spirit Sakapala Mandaraba Sheketeli Rudege Peleketeli.
Do your will. I'll do your will, oh God. I will do your will. Do your will. I'll do your will, oh God. Hey, I will do your will forever. Do your will. Do your will, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus. May please be seated. Hallelujah.
So why were you sent? Pastor, I agree with you. God sent me to the earth. I agree with you. Pastor, I agree with you. God knows me. I agree with you that God is not confused about my life and he knows me personally. But why did he send me? And you see, before we talk about the fine details or the nitty-gritties of why you were sent in terms of, Pastor, am I supposed to be a lawyer? Am I supposed to be an engineer? Am I supposed to be a doctor? Before you find out all those little details, there are some things that are more important. Are you with me? There are some things that are more important, that have greater priority. So why were you sent? Number one, you were sent to know God. Are you with me? You were sent to the earth to know God. There are many things about your life that even though God already knows in eternity, you have to discover them in time. Because in God's presence, you are a spirit being. But for you to be a man, you need to have a body, you need to have a soul. So God has to send you to time. Are you with me? For you to make those choices. Praise the Lord. Even if what I'm saying may sound confusing, don't worry, you will get it. Amen. Amen. You were sent to know God. John chapter 1. The Bible says, the same John that we are reading. So you just go back some verses earlier. John chapter 1 from verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Are you with me? Verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Please, are you with me? Now everybody read verse 4 together with a loud voice. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. In him was life. In him was life. Look at that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Meaning that if you came to the world and you don't come into him that was life, you did not live, you just existed. Are you with me? In him was life. If you came into this world and you never encountered him who was life, or who is life, that means your sojourn on the earth was just passing through, just an existence. Many are existing, very few have life. In him was life. After me, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, for him to use that expression, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, it means that men without that life that is light will be in darkness. So the very first reason you were sent was you were sent to know God. Are you getting this? You see, like I told you, God knows you. But do you know God? God knows you, but do you know God? You know, when it comes to church engagements, some people think that what we do in church or our relationship with God is just some, you know, just some necessary stress to just agree with. Okay, let me just take it. Let me just do it. Let them not say that I'm a bad person. If you come to this earth and you don't have a relationship with God, you miss the point of your coming. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
John 17, verse 3. It says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Look at that. And this is life eternal, that they will know thee, the only true God. Meaning, eternal life begins first with a knowledge. It's a kind of knowledge that a man receives. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, the next question you want to ask me is, okay, I agree. I was sent to know God. How do I know God? You cannot know God apart from the way he has predicted or he has planned for men to know him. The way God is, except God reveals himself to you, you cannot know him. For instance, I want to ask you a question. Have you by chance on the road, in the fast food, or maybe at the filling station, or at a gas station, walked into Dangote? Have you by chance, you were just walking on the road and you just carelessly ran into President Tinubu? Somebody said, how now? Tinubu said, it's far. Have you by chance just walked into somebody very big in the worldly sense? It's not possible. How much more God? For you to meet any of those big figures, they have to be the one to summon you. Especially when you're not at their level. Are you with me? In the same way, for you to know God, no man on his own strength, by his own wisdom, by his own intellect can meet God. So God must reveal himself to you. Are you with me? So the Bible says in John chapter 1 from verse 18. Let's read it. John 1 from verse 18. It says, no man had seen God at any time. Are you seeing this? No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Meaning that it was Jesus who resided in the bosom of God that revealed God to us. Are you following this? You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to lay foundations and pillars in your, what you can call your worldview. The pillars that hold your life together. Are you with me? Because as you grow as a person, there should be convictions that form the framework of what you believe. That form the framework of your outlook to life. When they ask you, what are you on the earth to do? What are you doing with your life? Before you wake up in the morning and say, what is my life about? No, you were sent to know God. First and foremost, you were sent to know God. Are you with me? And no man can know God outside his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, as it were, that Jesus who resided in the bosom of the Father has explained God, has revealed God. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? Remember, Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you with me? You know the popular one, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy creator in the day of thy youth. So you were sent here, first of all, to know God. Say after me, I was sent to know God. I was sent to the earth to know God. Number two, why were you sent? You were sent to manifest God. Please, are you with me? Say after me, I was sent to manifest God. So, you must have a holy quest to know God and not just know him, to manifest him. And in manifesting God, you can put it in two levels. There is a level where you manifest God by revealing his nature to your world and by serving his will on the earth. So you manifest God by revealing the nature of God or the dimensions of God or the wisdom of God to your world. And number two, by serving his will on the earth. Praise the Lord. You are not confused in Jesus' name. What I'm trying to say is, when people look at your life, they should see things that can make them say, how did this person get this possible? There should be supernatural things that points to the godly, divine life through you. Are you with me? And not just that, you should also serve the will of God on the earth. Praise the Lord. Genesis 1 verse 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So when he says our image and our likeness, God wanted people who look like him and act like him. Are you with me? You know, let me tell you something. You see here, in the world, you are either acting like God or you are acting like the devil. Are you with me? You know the story of man and the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. From the very day Adam disobeyed God and chose to obey the devil, he came under the nature of darkness and he began to act like the devil. So in the world today, when you see people exhibiting what you can call good good behavior or things that look good, anything good, it came from God. I am telling you, anything in this world that looks good, it came from God. But everything that looks evil, it came from the devil. So it's either you are manifesting the life and nature of God, or you are manifesting the life and nature of the devil. Please, are you with me? Don't be lost, though. Don't be lost. So apart from that, God also wants you to manifest his will on the earth. Let me read something to you. So apart from looking like God and acting like God, God wants people who can do his will on the earth. John chapter 4 verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That means the person that sent you to the earth has a plan for the earth. God that sent us to the earth has something in his mind for the earth. Please, are you with me? If somebody's sleeping, please wake up, wake up, wake up. Your mind is open to receive in Jesus' name. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So you should ask yourself, what is God doing on the earth and how am I acting with it? What is God doing on the earth and how am I cooperating with it? Is my life actually fulfilling the will of God on the earth today? Let me show you something. Acts chapter 13 verse 36. Acts 13 verse 36. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, for David, please, everybody, can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. Read it again. For David, after he has served his own generation by the will of God. So, he did not just serve, it was by the will of God. He did not just do something great. It was by the will of God. It means there was something about David's kind of service that was in tandem with what God was also doing on the earth. So you are here to manifest God by revealing him and by serving his will. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You know, many times, let me tell you the honest truth. When you read the Bible, if you rush the Bible, you will not understand the Bible. Please, are you with me? If you read the Bible and rush it, you will not understand it. Let's put that verse of the scripture again. Romans 8 verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Does it stop there? Does it stop there? It says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, but not just that, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That means you can love God as it were, you are manifesting God, his ways of doing things, the life of God on the earth, but you're not really living in the will of God. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When you allow yourself to be called into his purpose also, you have come into the economy where all things work together for your good. So what is his purpose? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So God's purpose is that he can bring many people to look like his son. So in your life, you should ask yourself, what is my life doing that actually contributes to bringing many people to be conformed to the image of Christ? How is my life playing a role in God's divine plan? I pray for you. From this service, let a passion to manifest God, reveal God, and serve his will be ignited in your heart. In the name of Jesus. Number three, why were you sent? You were sent to make an impact. Say after me, I was sent to make an impact. You were sent to make an impact on someone else's life. That someone will experience good simply because you came. Are you listening to me? One of the reasons why you were sent to the earth is that someone's life will change simply because they encountered you. Are you with me? That someone's life will change simply because they encountered you. Have you started thinking in that way? You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to help your mindset. I'm trying to help our mindset. Because I found out that the church these days, we assume many things. We think that everybody that comes to church really knows why they are in church. We think that everybody who comes to church already knows what their purpose in life is. They already know God's plan for their life. We think that they already know, oh, this is what God wants me to do in my life. I've discovered some people don't really have any direction. They don't have any bearing. All they are thinking about is how I can survive, how I can just make ends meet, how I can just get food to eat. Are you with me? How I can just hustle. Listen, there is a world, there is a life, there is a mindset bigger than just survival. Are you with me?
Yes,
there is something bigger. And let me tell you, if you go for what is bigger than survival, you will survive. Oh my God. Oh my God. If you go for what is bigger than survival, you will survive. Tell me, I was sent to make an impact. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good? Say for me, doing good. Say it again with a loud voice. Doing good.
Doing good.
Say it again, doing good.
Doing good.
And he knew that we were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, in the context of this verse, it meant that he went about healing the sick, opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears. Are you with me?
Yes,
but beyond that spiritual platform of working miracles, and we must work miracles. Are you with me? The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. Apart from that level of working miracles because you are a child of God, your life should be marked by doing good. When you go into an office, when you come into an organization, they should say, since this guy came, everything has changed.
Yes,
look at the Bible. The Bible says, and the house of Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph. When you come into a place, when you meet your friends, when people encounter you, your friends should say, since I met this guy, my life has changed. This guy is a good influence on me. Tell me, I was sent to make an impact. Don't go to a place and because you came, everything went bad. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 13 to 16. It talks about how Jesus went to a certain city. And simply because he went into the city, the Bible says, they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Say after me, wherever I go, I am a great light. Wherever I go, I am a great light. Do you know why this is important? Before we talk about, pastor, what is my assignment? Maybe, am I supposed to be a pastor? Am I supposed to be a musician? Am I supposed to be an engineer? Do you have this framework that wherever I go, I'm supposed to make an impact? Let me tell you something. If you are impact-driven, you will walk into destiny effortlessly. Look at David. David was anointed to be king. God did not tell him to fight Goliath. Listen, God did not tell David to fight Goliath. Are you with me? All that happened was, David, go and give your brothers food. Remember, what did I say? If you are impact-driven, you will walk into destiny effortlessly.
Yes,
go and give your brothers food. He went, gave his brothers the food, and then he saw the giants threatening his nation, Israel. And he was like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Troubling the people of God. And then he believed, I can do something. I can make an impact. And then he went and met the king. I can do something. And the king said, you are not a warrior. This guy has been a warrior from his youth. He now said, okay, king, let me tell you my resume. When they gave me sheep and goats and all of that to take care of, one was missing. Taken by a lion, I killed the lion and rescued the sheep. Hey? That means from time before, prior to that time, David has been a person of impact. Even if you give me just sheep to take care of, I will not look down on it and say, what is this? Are you with me? Are you with me? Even if you give me sheep, even if you give me goats, I will take care of it as my own. Do you know what it means to rescue a sheep from a lion's mouth? That is risking your own life. For you to be that way, that means that guy, there was a way he was thinking. Is it not just one sheep the lion took? I beg, let me leave. Some people will say, they will think like that. Let the lion go with that one. At least I'm alive.
Yes, sir.
But he left all the other sheep, went. Oh my God. Say after me, I am sent to make an impact. You are in a place. Everything is going wrong. You know you can do something to help, but you decide not to do anything. And you want to change the nations. Are you with me? So David told Saul, I will fight Goliath with my sling. And the anointing of God took over, helped him. And then he killed Goliath, and that was the doorway. Are you with me? That began to pave his way into kingship. God already knew that this guy had a mindset of impact. This guy had a mindset of contribution. This guy had a mindset of service. So he knew that the anointing upon him will not waste. There are many people who they are receiving anointing. You will be king. You will make it in life. All the other factors that are supposed to play out and arrange the turn of events to bring them into what God has promised, they don't have it. They don't think about impact. They think about me. Satan, I am sent to make an impact. You go to a place. How can I contribute? That's your first thing. When you meet a person, how can I contribute? How can I make an impact? Listen, making an impact is more important than making an income. Making an impact is more important than making an income. Because eventually, those who make impact, income will follow them. Oh my God. You know, something happened years ago. we used to have this volunteer library. I had a friend. So what he does, he will gather books, soft copy books, very important books. And he told all his friends, everybody he knew. He said, if you are a lover of books like I am, join this WhatsApp group. If you need a book, I will go and find it for you and give you. So that's what he was doing. For 1 year, he did it. 2 years, he did it. One day, somebody on the group said, this guy has been giving us free books for the past 2 years. Let us contribute money and give him. Now, he did not ask for it. In fact, when they raised it up on the group, he was like, I just find joy doing this. They were like, no, you are adding value to us. We must contribute back to you, whether you like it or not. Say after me, impact. Say it again, impact. The measure of a man's life is not just about the duration, but his donation. Did you hear what I just said? It's not just about the duration, the donation. How much is coming out of you to other people? How much are people drinking from you? Tell your neighbor, think impact. And finally, why were you sent? You were sent to make a difference. You were sent to make a difference. You can put in brackets significance. Meaning that in as much as you must make impact, as you begin to make impact at a point, God must bring you into a level of significance where even though you do everything everybody is doing, there is something different about you. Oh, this one, this is my best. There is something different about you. There is something unique about you. And as you make your contributions to the world and impact the lives of people, there must be a brand name from you. There must be something that says, this one is different from every other person. Let me tell you something. Even God believes in being significant. Even God believes in being distinct. Even God believes in being unique. I want to ask you a question. Is apple a good fruit? Please answer me. Is apple a good fruit? So why did God make banana? Is apple and banana a good fruit? Why did God make pawpaw? Is that correct?
Pawpaw.
Okay. Apple, banana, pawpaw. They are good fruits, right?
Yes, sir.
Why did God make watermelon? Are you with me? All these fruits I've mentioned, they are great fruits. Why did God still add orange? Because there is something you get from orange that you cannot get from watermelon.
Yes, sir.
There is something you get from banana that you cannot get from apple. In the same way, when God made you, there is something he wants from you that he will not get from any other human being. That is why even identical twins, they don't have the same fingerprint. Are you with me? No two people are the same. So God did not batch produce us. Remember where I'm coming from. He knew you. Before I formed in the belly of your mother's womb, I knew you. So he did not just say, I want to make 500 girls.
Girls.
Batch. Boom. Release to the world. Batch 1960. So we release 500 girls to the world in 1982. In 1993, we release. That's not how God produced you. When God made you, oh my God. When he formed you and planned your destiny, he said, I will do this one, I will not repeat it again. He threw away the mold and the cast he used. Are you with me? And started again to make somebody else. It means there is what God wants to do with you that he does not want to repeat. Meaning, if he loses you, he will never have another replacement. Listen, when you understand what I'm saying, you will take your life serious. Remember, we are talking about destiny here, right?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stay within you a mindset. I am sent. There is something distinct about my life. There is something unique about my life. Are you with me? There is that business God wants you to start. He knows that there is no other person that will do it the way you will do it. That ministry that God has put inside of you, there is no other person that will do it the way you will do it. See, even in the Bible, even when it looks like two people's parts are the same, they are distinct. Moses was a leader, right? How did he lead God's people? He will perform miracles and the people will follow him. That was not how Joshua led God's people. The same role, but different operations. You know why it's like that? God is too big, that he wants to manifest himself in so many ways. And so what he does is, he cannot exhaust himself. So every human being is an opportunity for him to release another dimension. Every human being. That means there is a dimension of God you are carrying that only you can reveal. Satan, I am born for significance. I was sent for significance. I was born for significance. I was sent to be different. I want you to say this with a loud voice. So I will add something to my world that only me can add. I will add something to my workplace. That only me can add. Glory. You know, if you read Genesis chapter 11, where they were building a tower to rebel against God, the Tower of Babel, the Bible says in Genesis 11 from verse 3 that they made burnt bricks. I want to show you something deep here. They made burnt bricks. Look at it. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. Do you know what that means? It means when they were making the bricks, there was nothing unique about each of them. They burnt them thoroughly. And God was not impressed with that project. That did not reflect his mind and way of doing things. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, Please put it up there from verse 3. Verse 4. Go on. I want to show you something. It says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So if I want to do a comparison between the building in Genesis chapter 11, they were using burnt bricks. But the building that God is building in Christ Jesus, they are lively stones. As it were, the uniqueness, the life, the distinct factors, the significant factors in the stones, God preserved them. They are lively stones. But for the burnt bricks, all the uniqueness was burnt out. Oh my God. Are you going to understand what I'm saying? All the uniqueness was removed. There is a reason you talk the way you talk. I know you want to have a pointed nose like those people abroad. There is a reason your nose is that way. There is a reason your face is that way. Are you with me? There is a temptation to always believe that you are not enough. You are not fine enough. You are not. Of course, you must improve yourself. You must improve your mind. But there are things that God has done that you cannot improve upon. You must embrace your uniqueness. And until you learn to embrace your uniqueness, your destiny will not come out. The full color. Listen, I'm saying. I just pray you get it. Say after me, I am sent to make a difference. I am sent to be significant. Amen. And you see, this can only happen when you embrace a close relationship with God. Because when you embrace a close relationship with God, God will begin to carry you into pathways that are unique to you alone. There are some things in your life that will not be repeated in other people's lives. There are some factors and circumstances that will happen to only you because of your unique pathway. Are you with me? So, you will step into the fullness of your unique destiny when you learn to embrace a close relationship with God. The Bible says in Psalm 16 from verse 11, "Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You know, when the Lord began to tell me about ministry and I began to preach, later, one day, when I started preaching, I stopped singing. I stopped playing the keyboard and singing. And then one day, I had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus said to me, he said, "I know you feel awkward that you will play the keyboard and sing because you don't see pastors do it. Is it that the pastor is preaching and somebody else is singing? But to see a pastor that finish, you preach halfway, you drop, you go and play the keyboard and sing." He said, "What kind of..." I used to feel awkward. He said, "That's how I made you. That's how I made you. Leave it like that." And he said, "Besides, I also want to tell you, every time you sing, I am there. You may not like my voice, but it is unique like that. And if you come to New Breed, you will hear it a lot." Amen.
Amen.
Say after me, "I am significant. I'm sent to make a difference." So quickly, let's run through all we learned. Number one, we said, you are sent from God and God knows you, right? And then why were you sent? You were sent to know God. Say after me, "I was sent to know God." That means you will take your walk with God serious. Because it is part of the reasons why you were born. Why you are on this earth. Some of you have heard me explain this before. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," right?
Yes, sir.
Please, are you with me? That's what God said. "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And the Bible now also says in Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 3, it's saying that Jesus Christ is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, Meaning, when God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, he said, let us bring man into Christ, because Christ is the actual image and likeness of God. Are you with me?
Yes,
if you are looking for the perfect image of God, it is in Christ. So when he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, that was a prophetic picture of let us make man in Christ. So you have to see, if you live your life and you don't have a solid walk with God, you miss the number one reason why you came. You were sent to know God. Number two, you were sent to manifest God. Say after me, I will manifest God with my life. And that we said, you will reveal him and you will do his will. You will do his will. Amen?
Amen.
And number three, you were sent to make an impact. Say after me, I was sent to make an impact. And number four, you were sent to make a difference. Jump on your feet.